It's the Bad Advice Show.
Good afternoon, good night, good morning, salutations. It is the Bad Advice Show, and I am Gordon Baker Bone, and I am here with the two of the greatest co-hosts in the nation. Two, well, fighting out of the blue corner. Put your hands together for a land, well, Georgia's own Cerrone Russell. I got nothing this week. And from New Orleans, fighting out of the red corner. Put your hands together for Mel, everybody.
It's me.
Oh my God.
The red corner is clearly the superior corner.
Okay. Did not mean to start a mini, like a mini doo boo's time battle between you two.
Well, you put us in different corners.
I must do what I must do. How's everybody doing this week?
I moved out of my apartment and into another apartment for a short term while, and let me tell you something. When looking for an apartment in Jersey, I don't know if they do this in other states, but they always try to sell the building and its amenities to you, and they do that by bringing out their one black employee to show you around. And I should have known this place was shiesty, because the leasing manager officer, lace front, was very present. I could see her bad lace front, and I was getting very upset.
Was it askew, or was it just visible and you're being hard on a woman who was just doing her job in a pandemic? Let's start the mess. But was it crooked?
It was crooked and visible. It was
Bless her bones. I mean, don't those things always come hand in hand, though?
I'm learning that.
I mean, but, you know, sometimes I feel like in the panorama, people just gonna throw that wig on as like a hat and let it do what it do.
It'll settle. That's what they tell themselves.
Mm-hmm. Wig or fitted, you be the judge.
She works in the same building that she lives in, which is, I think, could be problematic, because I feel like you need to still be a little bit professional when showing places, you know? And like one of the times that I came to look at the apartment, it seemed like she wasn't ready to show the apartment. The apartment was ready, but she wasn't, because she came down and like it looked like it could be work attire, but it also looked like it could be a robe. And she had one of those. She had the slippers on, you know, the furry ones.
She had a caftan
out. Yeah, it was a caftan. No, if I work. I work from home basically, and that's the next step from working from home. I would absolutely do everything in a caftan, because it just lets all your shit breathe and you can think better.
Hey man, I am a supporter of the caftan, because my lady has one, and there's something I know about caftans. The secret of a caftan is there's ass under that caftan.
There's ass under the caftan. My friend Deisha,
yeah,
she is the queen of the caftan.
I did not know this caftan goes
so great.
This caftan shit goes deep, boy. I'm telling you.
I have two.
Okay.
And I always feel like if Florida Evans got fancy whenever I wear one. Especially when I wear one and like my hair is all blown out. I feel like a very fancy Florida Evans.
Should I start buying ladies' caftans?
Hell yeah.
Okay. I thought I was doing something back in the day buying panties. Look at me. I got to start buying panties.
You date big girls. You date big girls. And by big, I mean like grown-ups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big girls like caftans. Grown-up ladies like caftans. Because you just...
By buying panties, you are buying oppression.
Yeah. Like, why would you...
participating in the restriction of that lady's freedom.
I mean, when you buy panties, you're like, hey, girl, buying your pussy. Why would you tell somebody to buy their pussy? Let that pussy free. Set it loose. Release the fucking crap. And let me tell you, under them caftans, it'd be released.
Yes.
Well,
there's something in my spirit that won't let me put on drawers when I'm wearing a caftan.
I don't think you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. I think the two fabrics would mesh mm-hmm. against each other and cause irritation.
It's funny you bring that up because when I saw her in this, it in my mind I was like, yeah, she ain't. It seems like she ain't wearing no drawers.
Yeah, no. I feel like the caftan itself has a spirit that rejects the drawers. It's not even me rejecting the drawers. It's like Venom. You know how Venom is like a symbiote and it just takes over, and it's the same thing. So the caftan is like a symbiote and it rejects the drawers.
It rejects the draws. It's like sound waves. It does not like them. Mm-mm. And I bet she was so relaxed when she was showing you that apartment. She was like, I got this sale. This lease is in the bag. Let me roll down here without no draws on and show this nigga this apartment.
Do you like your amenities?
Okay, and that's my next thing. They told me I was going to have a doorman to make sure all my packages get in here safely and all that whatnot. I haven't seen a fucking doorman since I've been here.
You got freelance.
But maybe there's a place where they put, like there's a concierge where they put the stuff.
Yeah, there is a place. There is a room, but there was supposed to be someone to take in materials and put it inside that room. But ain't a motherfucker here. Ain't nobody at that desk ever. There was one person the first day, and then, like, never again.
That was maybe, Willard, the stand-in?
Yeah. Maybe they have a moving day doorman, and that's it.
I think so. Actually, it wasn't even a moving day. Moving day, they weren't even there. Like, I moved in. There was nobody at the front desk. And then I'm like, wait, maybe, all right, it's the weekend. You know, maybe they let their head out on a Saturday. I think that's kind of weird, but okay. And then now is Monday. Still no doorman. I think I got shafted.
You can get shafted.
It's just Monday. Maybe you. How often did you check? Maybe every time you went, he was pooping.
She got irritable bowel syndrome because they ain't never at that nice ass desk that no one sits at. Yeah, you know what? That's my first piece of bad advice. Go find your doorman. Find out where the fuck your doorman at.
Yeah. The higher your rent is, the easier he'll be able to be found.
Oh, that is so true. When I first loft, you came to my first loft that I lived in, and like we had a doorman. The weirdest thing was that it was an older black gentleman who used to call me Mr. Gordon. I was like, stop doing that.
Mr. Gordon was cool though. I remember that place.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but there is nothing that black people who work, and especially older black people who work in fancy places where it's a lot of white people, they love calling you Mr. and Miss. Like to, and I'm like, no, please don't do that. My mama gonna come from the grave and slap me.
Don't do that. Gordon's place was weird though. Their loft had hidden rooms and then a random goddamn bulldog that nobody told me about until it was too late.
Yeah.
I heard huffing and slobbering. It was an English bulldog.
So were you scared of him or were you scared of getting slobbered to death?
Slobbered to death.
Okay, that's fair.
Because like that bulldog, he was like built like a tank and very husky. So like but he would get excited and it was that lazy husky like run over. It was just very like jolly.
It's a whole breed of asthmatic dogs, and that's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Them and pugs.
One of the greatest college mascots of all time cannot breathe. Oop. University of Georgia mascot cannot breathe. Trot his ass out there. They've had like 22 of them because the dogs keep dying because they cannot breathe.
Let's simmer down with the hyperbole.
They're very inbred.
The best mascot.
Oh, here we go. So,
hey, we're not going to talk about that misplaced tiger down there in the bayou.
Baby, there's a tiger in the middle of Louisiana, and I just... So the funny thing was, we used to, when I was little, Jehovah's Witnesses used to have conventions at LSU.
Say what now?
We used to have conventions at the LSU stadium, whatever, arena, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we would make it a point to go see the tiger because it was four of us and that was the closest we was getting to the fucking zoo.
That is fucking making the best out of nothing.
Every right time I think about that sad ass tiger, and I mean, obviously, I love LSU, but like as an adult, that shit is terrible.
Absolutely.
But my spirit can't, like, I'm sorry, tigers can actually run, and I feel like being a football mascot, maybe your mascot shouldn't die when it runs. I don't know. That's just me.
Just me. Maybe your mascot shouldn't have a huge cardiac arrest when it takes off for a sprint.
I know how to declare my football dominance. Let's find the fattest dog with the shortest legs and breathing trouble.
Or we'll take the greatest cat to ever walk the earth, and we'll put him in the hottest motherfucking place on earth.
Well, I mean, tigers come from the jungle.
Yeah, I know they come from the tropics.
But so, like, theoretically, like, honestly, like, if a tiger is gonna be in America, this is the fucking place for it. And technically, the motherfucker can run and escape.
Y'all got so many animals down there in New Orleans. A tiger is so confused.
Oh my goodness! Alligators. So Saturday night, I went to Bacchanal. Saturday night was the first anniversary of my dad being dead. And it was just like a rough weekend across the board. I was breathtakingly hostile at every opportunity. And my girlfriend was like, bitch, you get out the house. We're getting you out the house. And I was like, I do not have money. And they're like, bitch, you are not gonna cuss out another person. And so they took me out the house and we went to this place in Bywater called Bacchanal. Or Bacchanal, blah, blah, blah. And we're just chilling, listening to live music, and I look over and there's just a possum running back and forth next to my table. And what? I was just so
like unbothered. An actual possum?
An actual fucking possum. I will post the video. I'll post the video. He ran back and forth several times with no fear, didn't run into the person area. He was off to the side. We were like toward the front. It's a garden. It was a garden style, you know, restaurant, outdoor seating and everything.
So
he was just running back and forth. And I feel like anywhere else, I would have been freaked out, but I was in Bywater. It's right on the river. So, I mean, of course there's a possum there. There's a possum that runs back and forth by my house. I mean, my house, near my house, we have wild boar, alligators, and coyotes.
And remember, y'all had that.
And we had that nutria that was eating my cat food.
Yeah.
Now I feel like LSU got that tiger for protection.
Yeah, kind of. That's population control, baby.
Yeah, they could have chosen a bunch of different animals, but at least pick the one that can beat everybody's ass in the neighborhood.
Ain't that it?
Oh my God, man!
I saw a coyote on my street once. And so now I don't take garbage out at night anymore.
Coyote for fur.
Smart.
Better safe than sorry.
And I'm finally getting a shotgun.
Okay. Who are you? Mm-hmm. You are becoming the NOLA woman you were born
that was to be. Always meant to be.
You're going to get something engraved on the side of it?
Fuck yeah.
Got to. I don't know what yet, but probably.
She's a fancy auntie. She has to get a pearl handle. And then some kind of, you know, generic phrase or something that just means something. Or like, she'll get something engraved on the side that says, like, grace and mercy. But it's really death.
Yeah. Yeah. Grace and mercy, but the E's are like skulls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
That's what my pistol name is, Grace.
Ain't no mercy.
Ain't no mercy.
Think about getting
I just have it so I can do like a Jason Statham like quip. When I pull my pistol, I was like, I shall show you grace. And then I pull the pistol on you.
I mean, there are just my bedroom alone has so many weapons in it. Because you know, I live by myself. I mean, like it's me and my daughter by ourselves back here in East Shore. And you know, they be back there, they back here lighting it up. You know, three shots a day keep the white folks away. So I have to have some stuff, you know, just in case. Saying that?
I don't picture someone with no shirt on.
Three shots coming a day out. Keeps... I told you, I think it was last week. I just wait for the nightly
pop pops.
The pew pews. Okay. Actually, it'd be like, bah, bah, bah. I actually think some of it is people going, because I live near a beach, a closed beach.
Okay.
And I think it's people kind of practicing shooting and stuff too, or people committing murders and throwing bodies in lake.
Whichever. Fair enough.
That is not really my business.
That is a big ass range.
Yeah. Yeah. Or hunting. Like there's a lot of, it's a reasonable place to hunt back here. Cause I live, the name of the area I live in is Little Woods. So.
Woods.
So it's either hunting, murder, or target shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
And all are equally plausible. It's not like any ridiculous thing you think in Louisiana is not as ridiculous.
Not really, if you give it time.
When we were driving to the spot on Saturday, it was a bunch of roosters in the street on Poland Avenue. Mm. Normal shit.
Normal shit, and you had to stop and let them pass.
Hey, you better?
Or keep going and then get attacked by 12 roosters, which is nobody's ideal fun.
And whatever human loves them, because
they belong to somebody.
If you got a rooster on Poland Avenue, there's a murderous white person who loves it. So
loves it. Loves it to death.
Roosters are deadly, man.
Roosters like Marvel Avengers toys.
Roosters are deadly.
Oh, yeah, they'll fuck you up.
You heard about that cop that got murdered by a fighting cock. You heard about that, right?
Get the gun. I know you lying.
I'm dead ass. There was a they were breaking up a cockfighting ring, and one of the officers went to go open up the cage to get the rescue, the rooster. And you know they put blades on the bottom on that like spur of the rooster, and that rooster came out swinging, and he caught him in the jugular.
God damn. That's the fucked up way to go.
Yeah, but when it's your time, it's your time.
God damn.
Nobody's wife wants to get the news your son died because this angry cock hopped out its cage.
I'm sorry, say what? An angry cock jumped out and hit your man in the neck.
That's awful.
So he took a cock to the neck. He right to the neck, man.
The fact that you insist on calling it a cock is just...
I mean, sure, we're not going to be invited to do jokes at the wake, but let's get them off right now.
Jesus.
Took a cock to the face. Well, that's what happened.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we just get on this show and don't even try to be about shit.
Hey, man. But you got to think about the mentality of that rooster, because that rooster knows when that cage opens, something has to die so he comes back home.
Yeah. Cockfighting is so cruel.
It is cruel.
And dog fighting.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I won't support, will not participate, and will decry and fight a nigga that try to fight my dog. Because I lost a dog to dog fighting. When I was growing up, I had a Rottweiler named Noel. Wrong name for a Rottweiler.
What was going on with you that you gave all of your pets these nice
things? He's being a tender country nigga.
That's what I want. I love them to death, but my sister named that dog because we got him at Christmas time, and she had heard, you know, Noel, yeah. And she was like, and let's name the Rottweiler Noel, and he grew up to be 160 pounds and with a complex about his name.
Good Lord.
But somebody stopped by and wanted to fight the dog, asked my uncle if he wanted to fight the dog for money. My uncle was like, fuck y'all. get back in your car before I fight you for a little or no change. And then they tried to steal him, and they had to shoot him because when we found Noel, he was on the side of the road. But my man went out like a G. He had a pair. He had a piece of denim in his mouth, so he got in somebody's ass.
I'm sorry. Oh. Good for Noel. Fuck yeah.
That's right.
Did not go out without a fight. He had some denim in his goddamn mouth, and that's how they had to take him out. They had to shoot him.
Yeah, yeah, fuck people that fight dogs, man. Like, that is such a fucked up thing.
It's
a
dog really don't know. Ugly.
Like, how's a dog supposed to know it's got to go fight and make you rent money? Fuck you. Like, that is such a fucked up thing. Dog don't know every time you get the leash whether he going to the park or is his death time.
Don't know.
Like, oh shit, I didn't know we were fighting today. Damn, nigga, I was just licking my balls and now look at me.
I was reading today about these bears that were euthanized because a woman was found dead in Colorado. And they found human remains in two of the three bears that they euthanized. You was in the bear's house. Like, what the fuck? The woods don't belong to us. You have a house, you bitch ass motherfuckers. The woods are their house. If a bear is in your bathroom, okay, yeah, I get you shooting it. If you're in the fucking woods, you got to get it how you live.
Mel, were you reading Goldilocks? What the fuck?
No, I was reading the news. I was reading the news, man. I actually hate the story of Goldilocks, though.
Mm. That you is hate the story such, of white privilege? Like,
exactly that. A blind bitch walking in your house and taking your shit and a bear's gotta die. I can relate to that. I know how that works.
That's called gentrification.
That's called gentrification.
That's exactly what they do. They come to your neighborhood. Mm. Too black. Mm. Too hot. Mm. Oh, this is Bushwick. I like it.
Yeah. That's one of the things like about East Shore. I'm so far out. I'm one of the last exits. I'm one of the last neighborhoods or subdivisions or whatever in New Orleans. I'm less scared about like, you know, I used to be like, ooh, I'm not going to tell people my neighborhood. And I mean, you could run up if you want. So yeah, I live in East Shore. My neighbors hey, watch my house. So if you try and come over here with some bullshit, you ain't just got me to deal with because I'm a very nice neighbor. And I'm cute. Like my neighbors don't even let my food get hot. When Uber Eats drops off my food, if I look like I'm taking too long, they're gonna come knock on my door. You all right? You all right now? I'm checking on you in there. So I mean, you can fuck around and find out.
Oh my God.
This is my ancestral home. But anyway, I'm toward the end of actual New Orleans. And this is apparently white flight is looking at this area, and fortunately, we ain't going down without a fight.
No, that sounds like what Newark is going through. They trying to force niggas out of Newark, New Jersey, but nobody moving no time soon. They put a Whole Foods down here. They just got a whole bunch of Crips eating organic now.
Right. Now we murderous and healthy.
And people seem like so, like, I actually had to, like, get in somebody's ass because somebody tried to disrespect my city. Well, no one knows about Newark, New Jersey. There's no such thing as a Newark thing. I was like, listen, first off.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Exactly. So I'm like, yo, bro, just because you ain't from around here don't mean it ain't a Newark thing. And he was like, what's Newark known for? I was like,
car theft, maybe a little... nigga, what the fuck?
Thank you.
Celebrating what is uniquely ours.
Exactly. That's our shit. We stole them cars. And he's like, what? Name something that people know about Newark. And I was like, New Jersey Drive? You ever heard of it? And this nigga had the nerve to tweet, no one's heard of that movie outside of Newark. And I was like, are you daft?
One of the things I realized about social media and why I like to log off and whatever now, people just like to be talking the talk. Yeah. They don't even think about... From topic to topic, there's no consistency. So it's like, you can, if you get caught up in these, you know, kind of social media arguments or whatever, you'll drive yourself nuts because there's no consistency. There's no continuous logical thought. It's just people talking, and you just got to accept that because
just out there,
they're just talking. They're really just talking.
Oh my God. Like, Saron, what was your town known for?
Saron.
My town is known for Carter's Chicken, the greatest chicken sandwich you'll ever have in your life, which is a full thigh on the two pieces of white bread with the bone still in it.
Okay, and, so one of the things I really want in this is a bone-in chicken sandwich. Chew what? Around that what bone, is this bone bitch.
In? What Chew. Is this bone-in chicken sandwich nonsense y'all talking about?
It this separates the women from the girls.
Yeah. Because you got to know how to bite this bitch. You got to know how to come at it.
You when you're eating a bone-in chicken sandwich, you mean it.
Yes. And this motherfucker is so good, I will travel back home just for it.
That's like chewing. That sounds like chewing in a landmine. Like, you don't know where to go.
Nigga, yeah. I can eat well, you know, chicken. You know where to go when you know where to go.
I was just going to say, I know how to chew a bone-in chicken sandwich with my eye closed. When I pick it up and I feel it under my fingers, I know, okay, that's the place to bite right there.
That's a dangerous game.
Hey.
Only when you don't know what you're doing.
Live. Oh, my God.
It's only dangerous when you don't know what you're doing. It's like welding.
That's it. Yeah, just like welding.
Why did I just picture y'all put on like heavy duty gloves and eat the sandwich?
Okay, so well, welding is my family trade. Okay. That's my my mama's people are from Burris, Louisiana, and all of them are welders. That was like the most fascinating, amazing thing to me because like my favorite uncle, all of my uncles I love, my favorite, but they were welders. And my favorite uncle, he would, you know, go out there, he would put on his thing and just be out in the yard welding shit. And they are, and my cousins still do it, like generationally. My grandfather was a welder. My uncles were welders. My cousins are welders. And it's just, you don't think about little things like that. Like a lot of times being Black Americans, we think about how we're separated from our historic culture and all of that. But I think about how I have family born going back to 1918, and this is what we did. And my family, it's kind of like a blessing that we have a family trade, a profitable family trade, because my family did pretty well for themselves. You know,
you can keep the lights on with welding.
Oh yeah, So my family were they were welders and they were offshore.
Okay.
Oh, you can keep molding the lights on with offshore welding.
Yeah. So the thing about one thing about welders though, when your wife is pregnant, you really got to step out on faith when you're raising that kid. Cause
wait, what?
Cause you be going a lot.
Maybe you be 14 on and 7 off.
God damn. Okay.
That's a math for your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. See, my grandfather, he handed down barbering. Some of us all know how to cut hair. Mm-hmm. So basically, the reason why I do so many odd jobs is because when you're a barber, you got to do a lot of odd jobs too. Mm-hmm. You cut hair. You sell a little bit of this, you sell a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Both sides of my family, they were workers. And I think that's why I was a single mom. And so I didn't have no husband bringing in work. You know, I didn't have a husband bringing in extra money. And I had to do it. And I knew I wanted the life I was accustomed to. True. And that's why I kind of like worked myself to the bone and sometimes overspent because I was spoiled when I was young. I was really, really spoiled when I was young. And just so, not even a little bit. And so it's, So it kind of pushed me, even though obviously I didn't go to the into the family trade, which sometimes I wish I had. I knew I had to work hard because that's what both sides of my family did. Everybody, we were workers, we were hustlers, we were gonna figure it the fuck out. And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, what'd your family do?
Brick masons.
What? I did not know that.
Wait, what's that?
Brick masons, bricklayers, masons, building houses. You got to do a couple different jobs. So we also had farmers, you know, hog farmers, corn, soybeans, and we didn't do no cotton because it was just, it just felt
wrong. It do. That's just wrong. My family had land. There was no cotton on that land.
No.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. We got plenty of land now. Ain't nobody growing none on it, but won't be no cotton growing on that shit.
No.
My granddaddy actually scared me out of being a real full-time thug. He said, if you don't get your goddamn education, you're going to end up down there at the cotton gin. And
because that's the only thing, cotton. Once you get a record, that's the only thing you can do if you go straight.
Yeah, that was a real cotton gin down the road for me. And I used to see niggas bailing fucking cotton. I was like, that ain't the life for me. I'm finna go to the goddamn military or something.
You just wanted to get out of there. You wanted to get as far away from cotton as possible.
It was a real time fear.
Goddamn. Well, I learned how to cut hair from my family. Well, I'm not proficient. That's the words I learned about shaving. I couldn't shave you, but I could give you an all even all the way around. Do the hairline pretty good. I learned like how to do a fade later, but other than that, nah, man.
And you take great care, and I'm gonna say this because I love you. You take great care of your own hair.
Let me tell y'all can't see it, but this nigga's locks are lustrous. this glorious ass motherfucker on this video right here.
I've been trying.
Supple and moisturized, and all every time I see him.
You got, yeah, dude. I like going to the barbershop. Like my, a lot of people think I'm weird, but I always go to barbershops that have women cut hair because that's like my aunt used to cut my hair. She used to always say something. It's kind of problematic, but I didn't think of it at the time. She used to say, "Listen, you go to somebody that's attracted to you, or want to make you look good and fuckable. That way, you always guaranteed.
You know you gonna look good."
Like, them niggas that don't works make for you men,
but actually for women, it's kind of the reverse. If you're not going to women hairstylists, if you want a good male hairstylist, you need a gay man.
I'm learning that.
Because there's something about the way gay men view doing women's hair. It's not for a sexual gaze. It's strictly for her. It's them taking pride in their work and them just wanting you to be fly. There's no like ulterior motive. No. And so I either go to women or gay men.
Oh.
That's the only people. I let a straight man do my hair once.
How'd that work for you?
Long story short, I used to be in my church. I was like the babysitting don. So if you needed your child watched, you had to send them to me. Because again, I told you I was from a family of hustlers. And one thing about Mel, a bitch knows how to turn over a dollar. Now, I may not have always known how to manage that hoe, but I could get money. And so I had a babysitting empire from 1990 to 1998 when I had my own child. Damn. And my nigga, let me tell you, your girl was making bank.
I feel
bank. And so one of the couples I used to babysit for, he ended up getting a hair salon, and bless his bones, he tried. He really tried.
And be careful.
And it was hard because when I got my forever hairstylist, she worked in the same shop as him. So he was kind of pissed. But I gotta be fly. I can't be fucking around with you. I'm not using my babysitting money for no bullshit.
Hey, as a babysitter, how many times did you have sex in other people's houses?
Never. I was professional. Never.
That's really good. That's super professional.
I have always been someone who likes to separate work from everything else.
That's good.
No, I've never done that. I've never had anyone who's not supposed to be in a house in a house because I'm focused. Like when I would babysit, I was focused on the kids.
I'm a big kid myself.
So when I'm with kids, I would get to sort of let that part of myself go. So it's like, it was like cartoons, games, makeovers, whatever.
For a couple hours.
Yeah, I always knew that I was going to be a mom because I've always loved kids. I took care of my sisters at a very young age, and I talk about how that kind of, I didn't necessarily have a childhood because I was always somebody's surrogate mama because my mama was sick, so that was part of it. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed taking care of my sisters. I enjoyed babysitting. So yeah, I didn't have time for no niggas. We was having fun.
Storm, you ever banged a babysitter?
Of course he has. Come on.
What?
No. You never banged a babysitter.
Never.
You gonna lie in front of me, Gordon, and Jesus.
They ain't never snuck over somebody's house and had some fun with the babysitter.
Me, Jesus, and Mel and Gordon have to understand that Sarone is a smart criminal. And
yeah, that's not smart. He was stealing and then he went to the military. Never mind.
All right. Yeah. Oh yeah, I used to. That's the nanny.
Okay, so here's the other question. Did you ever know a girl who was a babysitter who was kind of like, you know, these motherfuckers got a big screen?
Yes.
Okay. Don't say who. Don't say what you did. I just want to know if you have the information.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah. Okay.
I definitely. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What happened? What would you want to say? Another thing about what?
What happened?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. We still don't admit to crimes on the Bad Advice Show.
All right.
I will never sanction admitting to crimes on a Bad Advice Show. I don't give a fuck. We don't need to get comfortable with self-incrimination.
You're right.
That's okay.
We get sponsors and come after our ass.
I'm the big sister. I'm here to help.
All right. Hey, Rome, can I ask you this? How the fuck did you get me to start watching Handmaid's Tale and you moved on to a whole different TV show?
I couldn't find my remote.
So I tried reading that book and I couldn't do it. I don't know how people with uteruses watch that show because I read the first half of the book.
Yeah.
And I think it was at the beginning of the Trump administration, and I was like, oh nigga, fuck everything about this.
Yeah, that fuck is heavy.
I trust the fact I love Elizabeth Moss, not Kate Moss. I love Elizabeth Moss, and still no. I love Elizabeth Moss. I love Samira Wiley. No.
I was not gonna watch this at all. And Sarone was like, I'm about to watch it. I was like, you know what? I'll watch it with you. It'd be cool to see what the show's about, watching it with a friend. And then this nigga didn't find his remote. And then I ended up a season deep traumatized.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I respect anybody who could watch that season after season, but I haven't even finished the book. So I definitely didn't bother with the show. My real life is too shitty to get into a show like that.
I keep walking away.
Did get into was Invincible. If y'all haven't watched that,
that's what everybody keep telling me.
Good God Almighty!
Is that good?
It's good, but fuck.
I was not ready. I'm on episode 2. See, and the people who listen to this show, y'all probably already have finished this first season. I haven't finished it yet, but I was on episode 2. And when Omni-Man did what he did in episode 1, I was like, what the fuck? Is there something wrong with this nigga? And then when he came to episode 2 and he flew through that portal into the alien world, I was like, there is something wrong with this nigga. This nigga is a psychopath.
It's like watching the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones every week. Every fucking week. And I have never in my life seen a superhero who could not fight the way this invincible motherfucker can't fight.
Can't fight.
Like, I'm glad you could take a punch, but nigga, you ain't never gonna throw no good hands. Theoretically,
hands.
I can throw hands better than Mark.
You can. A lot of people can. Mark ain't got no hands. Mark is just out here taking it on the chin, and God bless him for having a damn super vibranium chin, because if it wasn't for that, this nigga would have been dead 6 months ago.
Baby, this show would have been one episode.
One.
Oh man, this is real.
Also, the fact that Mark got his ass beat by a nigga named Nolan will not stop being hilarious at me. To me, how you go home and be like, "Who fucked you up like this, Nolan?" No, no,
not the name you were expecting. Not the name you were expecting.
Nolan beat your ass, and I understand that Nolan is, you know, but still. But fantastic writing, fantastic writing,
fantastic writing.
But it's very intense.
Okay.
Animation. That's we'll talk about this more on our other shows, but
yeah, we're gonna do a bonus Invincible thing. We're this summer we're gonna be having our Patreon bonus shows. Yeah. And we'll be talking about the shit you should be watching on television or the shit you shouldn't be watching on television.
Yeah, yeah. We'll definitely gotta do the shit you shouldn't be watching.
Bad advice television show.
Absolutely.
We watch the shitty things so you don't have to.
Yep. Pretty much. Oh, speaking of shitty things, did you guys see Jay-Z say he regrets his lyrics in Big Pimpin'?
That's because he's getting old and he's getting frail and Beyonce is still strong and he's scared she's gonna smother him in his sleep. Because the thing about fathers is once the kids start getting older, you realize they're going to join the mother and jump you.
Oh, I know exactly. Yeah, I've been seeing that. I've been seeing the most heartbreaking things parents been doing on TikTok. Have y'all been seeing this baby run challenge where the two parents are by the baby? They don't tell the baby that they're going to run. And then the parents run in opposite directions. Yeah. And the baby chooses which parent they love the most.
And do they typically choose the mother?
Oh, it varies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, this one woman was very upset at her daughter because her daughter chose the father three times in a row. And she was like, I don't know where this baby gonna live after this.
I think like when my kids were younger, the funny thing about babies, like, you know, whatever. I think when my kids were younger, they would have chose their father. No, I'm not so sure. Now, one thing I do think that I think Tyson told me when he was younger, and I believe like he would have all of us, me and the ex-husband, living in the house. And I kind of think he was going to play in a fight club.
What?
To see who would like have dominance in the house and preferential lodging. And I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to snuff the fuck out of my ex-husband. Me. Can't wait because that nigga is already starting to get frail. Ooh! If he lives past 50, let me tell you.
Oh, Jesus.
That nigga's in danger.
Why does every woman know 50 is the mark for black men?
Oh, no, no, no. I have eyeballs.
Oh, my God. That's AI wife.
I've been like this nigga punched me in the face and split my face open. I have been carefully watching the decline.
Holy shit. So you waiting for fight day?
I'm going to give him a lick back. I'm a Sagittarius, baby. If you do something to me once, you might as well do it forever. I'm going to get my lick back.
Yep. You know, hey, Sarome, you know what about Allen Iverson's divorce and how he lost $32 million and got half of it back?
No.
Really?
Yeah. So basically, his wife was done with him, all the cheating and the lies and the gambling. So his agent set up a trust fund for him for $32 million and it was protected. And he made a deal with his wife that if he ever cheated or did anything wrong with her and like caused their marriage to go go awry that he would give her the $32 million. That's how serious he was about her and changing his life. And right. She was like, all right, let's get it in writing. He said, okay. And her rules were, you got to go get drinking counseling. You can't have any outside kids. You can't cheat. You got to be home by midnight. And you also have to discuss any purchases over $4,000. Okay. And this nigga, for $32 million, he could not do any of that.
God damn it. Couldn't hold it together.
She was kind enough. She was like, I'm not going to take all his money. She put the money back into a trust that if he lives to 2030, he gets his $16 million.
Well, God bless her heart, because this nigga is not the smartest.
My question to y'all, would y'all, if y'all had a spouse like that, that had $32 million and you set some rules and they then broke the rules, would you still give them half? Or would you just be like, well, you fucked up?
Oh, no.
I can tell you male's answer right now.
If I had a spouse who put $32 million on the table, if he didn't break the rules and he broke the rules, I walk away with 64.
God damn. Mm-mm.
The one thing I do regret is not making those stipulations. Well, one thing I regret is marrying a broke nigga. The other thing is marrying a broke nigga and not having stipulations.
Oh man.
So yeah, no, I've been dealing with this in therapy. I have an incredible amount of hostility toward men. And I couldn't.
She wouldn't get a 16 back.
I'm not big on giving men money. That just doesn't sit right in my spirit.
No.
I will give you time. I will give you love. I will give you food. I will sew your buttons. Like, there are a lot of things I will do in a relationship to sustain and but giving a man money is just never one of them. Or not in that kind of way.
Rome, what would you do in that situation?
You can't ask a married person that. Don't answer that.
Oh, okay. God.
What are you doing?
All right, fine. You know what I would do? Like, if she messed up and I got the whole $32 million, I would still give, like, I wouldn't give her the 16. That seems too generous. I would just give her about
shoot a four.
10. Yeah.
10? You would shoot a 10?
Shoot a 10.
That's good on you. That's good.
But it's
That's
different. Good, yeah. I mean, it's also different for men. I just cannot, like, spiritually, I can't give men, like, lump sums of money. I'm not saying I've never done, you know.
Did it hurt if you had to?
Like, yeah. Like the small amounts where I've been like, oh, you're doing bad? Okay, here's $50. Nigga, that hurts. That hurts me. Like, just a little, I can't. Money is not, and I'm a very giving person, but toward men, I'm just not particularly financially giving for just a lot of reasons. I think we as women are called upon for a lot, and money is just not one of those things I'm gonna.
I was bringing this up because Bill Gates is officially getting split from his wife
after 27 years of marriage.
27 years of
marriage. Bill Gates and Melinda didn't make it.
Which is wild. There's another billionaire out in the streets, everybody. There's now four billionaires single and mingling out there.
Mackenzie is off the street. Somebody snatched her up. I think it was like a teacher. Grabbed her up.
Yeah, she's off the street. She's off the street. Yeah,
Mackenzie ain't on the streets.
What?
Yeah, men are dumb, teacher, but they ain't that dumb.
You got her?
Men ain't that dumb.
We call them the sign nine. Because he lays some wood out there.
Man. No. So, all right, there's a couple of millionaires out there. Well, J-Lo is, well, this is the breakup season, apparently. Now that the panty liner is, everyone's getting vaccines and whatnot, people are like, you know what? I can go back outside safely. I'm splitting.
Yeah. I'm out.
There's been a lot of breakups through the pandemonium.
Yep. Shit's wild. I'm seeing this shit now, man. J-Lo left A-Rod. And now she's hanging out with Ben Affleck again.
She was pop locking on Zoom with Diddy or whatever the fuck. She's damn. Every ex.
Yeah, Diddy and J-Lo still have that we still fuck each other every 3 years type vibe. I
pick up from three, yeah, not like on a regular, but like every 3 years.
Yeah.
That every always 3 years. Fascinates me. People that still like dip back with exes because I do not have that in me.
Really?
It takes me a while to break up, but once I'm gone, I'm gone. Baby, this pussy is not a saloon door. It's your mama's screen door. You ain't gonna come in and out of my house letting this, oh, my pussy's cool ass, cool air out. No, 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 no.
Why did I hear the slam in my head?
Mm-mm. You right. You gonna get inside or you gonna stay outside? No, no, no.
That's exactly what I picture. I picture Mel going in and out.
And that's exactly how I am. Once you, I just don't, it really bothers me when I see people who are like, and more, I won't say women necessarily, but men who just kind of like try to keep those tabs on exes. It really bugs me because they kind of use it as crutches and use those crutches to sabotage new relationships. It's really like, it's a huge turnoff for me. Like men who are super flirty with exes, seriously gross. I do not like it.
What about men who just drink and have a podcast and they ex try to dip in out of their life and he say no, but they still try?
I told you hard. What to do.
Oh, I was, yo, this is my, I forgot. I got to annually thank Sarome again. Sarome, thanks again for putting that block in my phone. You have changed my life. It's been officially 4 years. And I don't know who blocked that number, but thank you.
I did.
That was the first day of rest I had in months.
My nigga wasn't sleeping. I had to block that number.
Oh, yeah, no, Sarome. I don't like the dipping in and out just because it's not healthy for anybody.
All right. It's not good.
And it's not even a matter of like, obviously if I've been on the business and on it, I definitely don't like it for my own personal reasons, but yeah. I just don't, it's just not healthy. You can't really build anything and it just causes confusion. And I don't like a whole bunch of silly shit. I just can't, I'm 44. Like I'm not, I don't want to have to ask stupid ass questions and it just, no, I don't like confusion. I don't like nonsense. And I say that as somebody who's polyamorous, if you are dating an ex and I need to know that, like, if you are with an ex and y'all are dating, you need to give me the honest, the real deal of what the nature of your relationship is. It's not so much that I care about what y'all are doing. I care that you're honest with me. And good so, point. You know, and I don't, it's a very, another reason that it's unattractive to me is I don't like men who drag women along, even if it's not me, because I know what's going to happen when my turn comes.
Oh, okay.
So if I ask you about somebody and you give me a sideways answer and they're visibly in love with you, and I'm not getting the right answer, you telling them some shit that makes them think that, and you're lying to me about them, and I just can't respect that.
See, stringing people along is always the fucked up thing to do. That's why you, like, I don't say interact with people. I just basically go, listen, this is what it is, and if you don't like it, then I guess this ain't gonna work.
Like, I don't care if you're still involved with an ex. I don't care if you still have feelings for an ex, but if somebody has feelings for you, if an ex has feelings for you, it's probably because you're telling them something that is giving them hope, and you should be honest about that. I'm still this to this person. And like, it's not about just the what, but it's about how are you conducting yourself with that person? Because I know when my day comes, what you gonna do to me?
Indeed.
Damn, man. I don't even know what to say after that.
It reminds me of a lovely song. It's a song called Mistakes by East Street Dive.
Okay.
It's a lovely band. This white woman sings her heart out. Like, who's your favorite white woman that sings their hearts out?
Oh, wow. It's a tie between Adele and Celine Dion.
Okay. I love Amy Winehouse. I love her for sad reasons, though, because she is one of Adele and Amy Winehouse and Carole King. It's a three-way tie between, no, I'm sorry, it's a four-way tie. Okay. Adele, Amy Winehouse, Gaga, and Carole King.
Gotcha. All right. Well, this lady says, in the song, it said, you said I didn't do anything wrong, but it must have been something I could have done right. I'm like, you know what? That is the saddest shit I have ever heard in my life. And I'm finna sit down and drink this whiskey underneath this coffee table because you just have ruined my life for the night.
A lot about that. And I mean, partly because it's, you know, I've had my own experiences because I'm a woman. But I think a lot about the self-blame and the things that women take on themselves. And honestly, it's not about you. It's not completely about you. And yeah, it can be about you and the fact that maybe you ignored red flags or wanted to ignore red flags. I mean, I've been in situations because I've had past relationships that were shitty. And when I see certain things, I want to be wrong. And so kind of don't jump on or jump away from certain things that I really should. But so I have a certain level of sympathy, but it's typically not about you. It's typically about that person. And you have to recognize that person is dealing with their own shit and you got to protect yourself.
Indeed.
You know, it's just, you know, and that's life. And it's not a whole lot you can do about.
You can't do nothing about
damage other than take care of yourself. Yeah.
Yo, like, I'm always took you for like you like to drink and listen to sad music.
Yes. Yes.
Why?
You have figured me out because I love this shit. Chris Stapleton is my newest Black Tar Heron over the last two or three years. His song, Sometimes I Cry, is the saddest shit I've ever had. And he said, the nigga says, everything I had that was good was in you, and now it's gone. That is some shit. You have given up. You said everything I had was good was in you and us and you and I, and I'm gone.
See, man, I think that's my goal. When I finally make enough money in comedy, I'm gonna open a bar, and it's not gonna be a fun bar. It's gonna be a straight breakup bar. After a breakup, you come to this place, and I play nothing but sad shit, and the whiskey's cheap. And you come in, and it's like I'm just wiping down the bar, and I go, "Who hurt you?" And that's when it starts. The music plays, and you just
that's the name of the bar.
One of the saddest songs I've ever heard is Elton John, "This Train Don't Stop Here Anymore." When this nigga starts out, "You may not believe it, but I don't believe in miracles anymore." Nigga, you don't believe in miracles.
You gave up on God.
What?
You done gave up on Jesus of Nazareth?
Man, what's that sad, beautiful song? But it's supposed to be happy. It's like she goes, "How did you get here? Nobody's supposed to be here." Is that song about her finding love again?
Deborah Cox.
Yeah.
So, fun fact about Deborah Cox: there is a very attractive man in that video.
Okay.
And I went to high school with him.
Get the fuck out of here.
And he was so nice. He was one of the nicest people I've ever met. Like, I was like an angry, aggressive teen. And no matter what, he was always nice to me. And yeah, he's just a really nice dude.
Look at that.
She sings the fuck out of that song.
Mm-hmm, do she does. Not? Hey, that song is one of the greatest vocal performances and emotional performances you will ever hear. And fun fact about Deborah Cox, the small visual of her toes started my foot fetish. And
I knew you were going to say something that I wanted to stop you on, but I had to hear it.
Yeah.
She's beautiful, though, and I just don't think she's gotten
on the album. On the album art was enough for me.
Oh, okay. Naked toes. Deborah Cox got some nice toes. Okay.
She's beautiful. She can sing beautifully. I don't think we gave her enough of her flowers, though.
We did not. And we should give her flowers. Her and Tamia, those two Canadian Canadian you know,
we gotta give a little more to Canadian black girls. I'm sorry. We gotta step it up.
Tamia was she's married to Grant Hill, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's one of the few light-skinned couples I root for.
I'd watch.
I watched too. Mel, look at me. Look at me.
I watch.
I pay for it. Pay for it.
Where's the OnlyFans, Grant and Tamia?
Oh my God.
Let me tell you, Grant and Tamia and Tiana Taylor and Iman Shumpert. Good God almighty. But I feel like whatever they're doing would be so overwhelming, you'd have to take the next day off. So you can't watch unless you have PTO.
Whatever Tiana and Iman doing, mm-mm, you need that Wednesday off.
Yeah, no. You need another day to process it.
No, I can't. No, we can't. If we watch them, our minds would explode. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. They look like they just know sex.
They do.
They are so fucking sensual and gorgeous and sexy, and it's just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch Grant. I'm gonna watch Grant and Tamia for the meaning of love, but I'm gonna watch Iman and Tiana for the fucking filth,
the nasty.
You know, deep down, fucking Kanye probably asked them, just like, "Hey, can I watch?"
Oh, yes.
He's such a weirdo. What is he doing right now? Nothing.
Getting divorced.
I heard that she's seeing Van Jones.
Yes, that's been the rumor.
Yuck.
He about to have the worst breakdown.
I mean, I'm glad two terrible people got together so that
we're about to get an album and a half once that divorce goes through.
Oh,
I can't wait for this heartbreak Kanye to come back. Oh, baby daddy Kanye, let's go.
And this motherfucker got a bunch of kids, so it's gonna be straight strife.
He got four.
Ooh. He gonna lose it.
It's gonna be Adele levels.
Oh,
it will. It's gonna be. It's probably gonna just be called Kanye 38.
Oh, when that divorce go through, it's because wasn't be a doozy.
808s and Heartbreaks was after he broke up with Amber, right?
Right.
I'm not praying for anybody's pain, but I appreciate when they can take that and channel it into something. And
you talk about Mary J. Blige? Yes.
Kanye is a talented. You know, I like Happy Mary, though.
What? You the first person I've ever heard in my life say I like a Happy Mary.
And maybe it's because I'm a woman, but I love Happy Mary. I think that's it shows a range and a beauty. There's a beauty in her art that
Mary been through some shit, and Mary gave us all that dope ass art through some shit. Like we didn't realize until Mary started talking about it how much shit Mary was going through.
I would like to ask artists this question, like especially like you guys. What if your fan base was like, "Hey, listen, when you said we will financially take care of you forever because we dig that shit."
I have been that fan. The funny thing about art is it a lot of good art is born through pain.
True.
And so that's a hard thing. I am never a better writer than when I'm going through shit. And it takes practice to kind of get over that hump. And one of the reasons I think people don't like happy music is because these motherfuckers miserable. They don't want to hear about your happy ass. It's not even that the music isn't good. It's that it doesn't resonate with them.
Yeah.
But there's just something about seeing Mary happy regardless of what I'm going through. I mean, it's like a level of compersion, right? When, you know, she's happy, just seeing her happy does something for me. Yeah,
it's the growth in the upward trajectory for me. Yeah. Like I know you've been through some shit, and it's so good to see you enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Man, well, guys, we've talked about a lot today.
Yeah.
We tackled a lot of different things. Is there anything stupid you guys want to talk about before we go?
No, not something stupid, but I'll talk about something great.
Go for it.
So I got accepted to this pretty great fiction writers workshop. I'm going to be, it's Vona, and I'm going to be in the fiction workshop this summer. And it's a big ass deal. And I'm super excited.
That's good for you. You've inspired me to try to write a book, and I know I'm not going to be able to write it, so I'm trying to find a ghostwriter. So if anyone listening wants to have like a weird interview with a vampire, but is a black dude from Jersey,
nigga, talking me. To you, what the fuck are you talking about?
For real, me, you'll help me do it.
What? Yes.
Fuck yeah! All right, then it's on. So. Well, looks like I'm gonna be writing a book, everybody. Name of the book is gonna be called Merry Go Round. So yeah.
It's gonna be the wildest shit ever.
I want that life. I wanna write a true story about my life, but also I want it to be as insane as a Sister Soulja and Zhang book, like fused together.
Wow.
I can help you with that.
Get ready to get ready to overuse the word throbbing.
It's gonna be. I'm going through it with an open mind because I'm already thinking how many times I can, Gordon, we can't say this. Oh. But we gotta write your truth.
But we need to say this.
We need to write your truth. And if your truth is Zane mixed with a Tyler Perry play, that's just what the fuck it is.
He threw a ferret in the strip club.
My brain can't process this tonight, but I definitely want to flesh that out because I don't quite understand it.
Maybe that should be the title. She threw the ferret in the strip club.
Now we got a title for tonight's show already, but it's been great talking with y'all. Yep. and hashing this shit out and
Yeah, we can't stay too much longer because Saron's children will definitely kill him.
Well, you guys know where to find us on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget Barrel and Flow is coming up. Make sure you get your tickets and reserve yourself for that.
Barrelandflow.com. And we've released a lot of merchandise. We have our taster glasses because even if you can't make it to Pittsburgh, we're gonna have DigiFlow, which is we'll be able to ship beer to 25 states. So we're gonna have our normal taster glasses. If you're familiar with what we used to have at Fresh Fest, we're gonna have those. We have stemless glasses and we have hoodies. We've got t-shirts. It's just all very dope. And all of it goes to supporting Black arts and Black artists. So please, and Black brewers. So please, we're also working on a scholarship program. So you can go to barrelandflow.com and apply for that as well. We're doing just a lot of things for the Black arts community and we want you guys to be a part. So definitely hit us up.
Definitely we hit them up with that. And also I need to say thank you to all of the monthly subscribers to the podcast of the Bad Advice Show. Since we guys have been back, our numbers have been astounding and some of you guys have been paying to make sure that we can readily keep the show available for you guys. Like, we're not asking for much. There's a support button that's out there. You can hit the support button. You can toss any amount of money, denomination. It's all greatly appreciated and it helps us know that you guys are still out there listening to us and we thank you and appreciate that. So definitely support the Bad Advice Show, hashtag Bad Advice Show on Twitter and Instagram. If you like something, if you don't like something, comment with the hashtag Bad Advice Show and we'll see it and we'll get back to you guys. Also, Decepticomics, we're going to be doing a show in June, so keep your ears out for that. Also, check out Sarome's YouTube clip. Where's that clip, Sarome?
Sarome Russell Comic, Keep Your Distance Comedy Show.
All right. So definitely check that out. We're going to be doing live stand-up comedy shows. You're going to probably see us, definitely see us at Barrel and Flow. So guys, definitely keep supporting. Keep listening to us. Thank you guys again. Deuces.